Welcome to One More Chapter. I'm Brian Rex Davis, editor of Action Magazine, and I'll be your guide as together we rediscover ancient wisdom for today's challenges. Jesus prayed the following in one of his last prayers on earth. Just before his crucifixion in John 17, he prayed, starting in verse 13, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 15, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth." Verse 20, "I do not ask on my behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe." Verse 20, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Many today do not believe in Christianity, or they do not take Christianity seriously because of the great division that they see in Christendom or the larger, wider Christian world. I was recently in a Bible discussion group in the nation of Kenya in East Africa, and we were talking about this very challenge, a challenge that a young congregation there in the large city of Nairobi was facing as they presented the gospel, as they presented the ancient wisdom of the Bible to the large urban environment of Nairobi, a very pluralistic environment with many peoples, many cultures, many different religious beliefs. Our episode today in chapter 1 is entitled Restoration, Part 1. You may wonder why we choose to entitle this particular episode Restoration. Restoration is a fascinating word, and it's a word that is found in the New Testament of the Holy Bible. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 9 through 13, reading out of the English Standard Version, it reads, "And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.'" Now, in this particular passage and this particular book, this is all taking place in the first century AD. It is ancient wisdom, but it comes from the books of the Gospels. The Gospels is where Jesus prayed his last prayer in John 17. Here in Matthew 17, it's a story where he has just had a mountaintop experience with some of his apostles as Moses and Elijah have come and discussed with him on what is called the Mount of Transfiguration. It was a surreal celestial event as those who had passed on representing the law and the prophets discussed with Jesus, and where God the Father proclaimed once again, "It is now time to listen to Jesus, my son." And so Jesus is talking to his apostles as they're coming down the mountain and saying, "Tell no one of the vision that you just saw until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Now, that statement alone would have been very concerning to the apostles. In verse 10, the disciples asked him, "Then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come?" Jesus answered, "Elijah does come, and he will restore all things." Verse 12, "But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he, Jesus, was speaking to them of John the Baptist. Here in this passage, this text of ancient wisdom, Jesus is revealing things that are going to shortly happen in the future so that the apostles will be ready, so that his disciples will not be overthrown in their faith when bad things happen to good people, specifically when the Messiah must suffer death on the cross in order to resolve the sin issues for all of mankind for all time. And so he's telling them things that have been prophesied and that are now coming true and that will shortly come true. But there was a prophecy in the Old Testament where Elijah would come. Now, Elijah was an Old Testament prophet, and oftentimes in different prophecies, terminology would be used like Elijah would come, signifying some other prophet in the future. In this case, Jesus is explaining those prophecies concerning Elijah had to do with the who Jesus referred to as the greatest prophet ever to have lived, and that is John the Baptist, the prophet that came just before Jesus was born and announced the coming of the Messiah, would prepare the way of the Messiah. Elijah's coming had this one particular phrase attached to it, wherein we find this great word, restoration. He, John the Baptist, will restore all things. In talking about the restoration that John the Baptist would begin, we're talking about the fact that this great prophet of John the Baptist, and the reason he was referred to as the greatest prophet ever to have lived, is because he had the singular task of announcing the coming of the Messiah, the prophesied Messiah, the anointed one of God, who would resolve all of man's sin issues and usher in a time of the kingdom of Christ on earth. So this kingdom would be a spiritual kingdom that would restore all things. And so it is the beginning of the restoration of the coming of the Messiah. So we see here that the word restoration is a biblical term. It's a term that has deep meaning. In fact, it has such deep meaning that in the English translations of this word restoration, when you dig into the etymology of the words that are translated restoration, there are actually three different words used that have three connotations that help us to understand this teaching of restoration as if we were looking at a fine diamond with multiple facets. The first facet of restoration that John the Baptist would begin ushering in is the facet where the language is indicative of the restoration of good health. And so it is a health term. The Bible often talks of Christian spirituality in terms of good health. Yes, there is an intellectual truth component of Christianity, but there's also this life, this lived experience of Christianity that is best described not as having everything truthful and all of your ducks in a row, all of your I's dotted, all of your T's crossed when it comes to righteousness and truth. That's important, and that is the intellectual side of Christianity. Truth is revealed by Jesus Christ. But there is a lived out experience of Christianity where Christianity is discussed in terms of our health, our spiritual well-being, our spiritual health. The commentator Barnes made this statement about this particular passage and the word restore. He, John the Baptist, would be the instrument of restoring them, Israel, the people of God, to proper notions about the Messiah and preparing them for his coming. Before the coming of John, their views were erroneous. The Israelites' views of the coming Messiah were incorrect. They were being undermined by cultural misperceptions. Their expectations were worldly, and their conduct was exceedingly depraved. John the Baptist corrected many of the Israelite notions about the Messiah, and thus restored them, in some degree, to correct views, to biblical views of their own system and of the coming Messiah. Restoration, in its introduction to the New Testament, in its introduction to the whole Christian system that Jesus ushered in, is a matter of the people of God having decayed in their understanding, having had their faith decaying in that they did not understand properly the view of God about the Messiah and about the coming age of the Christian era. Ever since sin entered the world, decay has actually become a constant in our reality. Mankind's physical health decays as physical death is a consequence of sin entering the world. In previous episodes, we've looked at the ancient text of the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. And specifically, Genesis chapter 3 shows us that physical death was a consequence of mankind's disobedience to God. In like manner, our spiritual health seems to decay to either the left of truth or to the right of truth as it veers wildly one way or another. In actuality, living in either ditch on the sides of the road of truth is a very, very unhealthy place to live. Now, what do I mean by the left side of the road and the right side of the road? Well, sometimes this can best be seen in the example of the Pharisees and the Sadducees as they interacted with Jesus. Israel had a very well-developed system of religion and worship activities, much of which surrounded the location of the temple in Jerusalem. The Sadducees were actually in charge of that ritual worship at the temple, but the Pharisees were the religious leaders of Israel in the villages, in the everyday lives of the people of Israel, the people of God. These two groups, however, had become specialists in living in the ditches, either side of the road of biblical truth concerning the Old Testament law of Moses and how the Israelites were supposed to be living. The Sadducees had become sophisticated, wealthy, powerful, and no longer believed, essentially, in the literal truth of Scripture. In fact, they believed that there was no life after death. And so what was the point of ritual worship to a God that was beyond this life? I'm not sure I even understand that. But the Sadducees had made a practice of this highly sophisticated ritual religion that really had no faith component to it. That would be the extreme left-hand ditch to the side of truth. Left-hand is often referred to as ideas that simply discount the truthfulness and authority of revealed Scripture, of revealed truth. And that's where the Sadducees were living. The Pharisees, on the other hand, did believe literally in the Scriptures, but they wanted to be the ones in charge of the religion of the children of Israel. And so they wanted to add their own laws and regulations to revealed truth in the Old Covenant law of Moses. And so they kept adding laws after laws after laws on top of the over 600 laws of Moses that were revealed to him by God, and they added all their man-made rules and regulations. And so under their system of the religion of Israel, legalistic man-made law had become the point. It had become the objective of righteous living, according to the Pharisees. That would be considered the far right ditch on the side of truth. And neither the extreme liberal view of there is no life after death, and thus we just live for today, and there's no real authority in the Scriptures and what it says, or the extreme right of legalism of adding man-made laws onto the laws of God and thus making religion all about fulfilling man's expectations instead of God, those were two extremely unhealthy places to live. And that's why those religious leaders could not get along very well with Jesus. The health that John the Baptist is talking about restoring, the health that Jesus refers to the ministry of John the Baptist as restoring, has to do with the biblical road of truth, the center of the biblical road of truth. That is the healthy place to live, where we see reality as God reveals it to us, where we regulate our beliefs and our behaviors according to this biblical road where truth is revealed to us, where God reflects his will, where he reflects his beliefs, where he reflects his behaviors that he expects us to share as being made in his image. Did you notice how much this idea of good health was attached to the concepts of truth? Jesus said in his prayer that he wanted us to be sanctified in his truth, and that his truth would be found in his word. That's why the ancient texts of the Bible are so very important to us today if we too want to have this spiritual health animating our lives as we navigate the challenges that we face in life. And so this is the first concept of restoration that we wanted to explore with you in one more chapter. In future episodes, we're going to look at the other two facets of this beautiful diamond of this word restoration and what it means to our lives. Chapter 2. We always want to take advantage of our time to thank our sponsors who make this podcast possible. And in particular today, I want to thank World Bible School, who has been making Bible study correspondence opportunities available to the world for the last 51 years. World Bible School is just publishing a wonderful book that I think you will find very helpful and challenging. It's one that is entitled Unity in Christ. It is talking about the unity that Jesus prayed for in his final prayer that we read in John 17. In fact, that prayer is much longer than just what the part we read today. And it also explores the great truths of unity in the ancient text of the letter to the Ephesians written by the Apostle Paul. That hope and that aspiration of being one as Jesus and God, the Father, are one. And that's a high bar of unity to aspire to. But that's Jesus' prayer for us. And just like anyone's final request on earth, we take final requests very seriously. And certainly the final request of Jesus, the Son of God, should be a request we take deep to heart. And so being one, being unified in Christ is extremely important. Only God can restore us to a point where we can experience and live into that level of unity. So I would encourage you to go to worldbibleschool.net and see about getting a copy of this particular book. Now, it is just being printed as we speak, and so it might take a little bit before it shows up on the online store in worldbibleschool.net. But check that out. Be looking for it on the online study opportunity with World Bible School at worldbibleschool.org. I know that study will be a great blessing to your life. As always, we encourage you, as I am the editor of Action Magazine, Action Magazine is a magazine that is published every quarter. However, we have a digital form of that magazine that is published every month, and we encourage you to go to worldbibleschool.net and sign up to receive either a digital or a digital and paper or just paper copy. You can have it any way you want, but register to get a copy of Action Magazine. I think you will find it full of in-depth Bible articles and tools that will empower you to share your faith and engage our world with the ancient wisdom that is only found in the Word of God. Chapter 3. In recap and preview, we want to always invite you to offer your comments and questions to us in the comments below, and we will read over those, and at some point we will give our responses to questions that you might have. We will form our future episodes to deal with comments and questions that you contribute. Today we've been looking at the disunity of Christendom that often leads people to doubt the wisdom of the ancient texts of the Bible. But as the original source of truth, we must judge Christianity on what the Word says, and not, as the world does, looking at frail human efforts to live out what the world says. Let's judge the truthfulness of God on the Word of God, and then strive all together to live in to the unity that that provides. Our spiritual health is possible if we will go to the original source of the Word. Our next lesson, our next episode, is going to focus on that second word that refers to restoration in the New Testament. I hope you'll join us for that discussion. I'm Brian Rex Davis, and we have been exploring ancient wisdom from the texts of the Bible. Until next time.